Well, good morning to you all. It's a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day morning, a wonderful Father's Day. I hope all of you fathers out there in the crowd have so far had a fantastic Father's Day. Go ahead and take your Bible. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You can go ahead and put your marker there. We'll be studying there primarily. We'll go other places, but whenever we go other places, it'll be on the screen behind me. So go ahead and put your marker there. We'll be there if we're going to be reading all morning. And while you're turning there, just let me say, I'm reminded this morning of what John wrote in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called sons of God. You know, on this day, when we think about what it means to be a father on earth, it also reminds us about, as Jay said, our Father who is in heaven. And what a blessing it is that we, a sinful and a rebellious creation, could be brought back to our Creator through Christ. And not just be called people who are saved, but be called people who are sons and daughters of His. That is an amazing blessing for which I am grateful, and all of us should be grateful every day. Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 22, the Bible says this. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." You know, that's a passage that we've read many times before, a passage that we are all familiar with. But I think we all have to think about very seriously, think about this question. What does it mean? What does it mean to be the head of something? What does it mean to be a leader? What's it mean to be the head of my house? Right? Because that's what the passage says there, that as the husband, as the father, I am the head of my house. What does that look like? What does that require of me? Right? Does that mean that I am some kind of CEO, right? The most important person, the person who gets paid the most, the person who gets to make all the tough decisions, the person who makes all the minuscule decisions among the entire household. Does that mean I'm like the CEO or something? Does that mean that I'm like the tyrant in some kind of dictatorship who gets to dictate everything for everyone underneath my authority? What does it mean that I am the head of my house, that I am the leader in my home? And I think what Paul makes very clear in these verses is that when he says that we are, as husbands and fathers, we are the head of our house, it's clear this is not just about authority. And it's clear that this is not just about who gets to make the big decisions. It's clear that when he says this, it is about something warmer. It is about something closer. In fact, look further down in Ephesians chapter 5. Look further down where it says, starting in verse 30, "Because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." It's not just about one person dictating things to someone else. It is about becoming one body. It is about unity. It is about something warm and close. You know what it means to be the head of your house? That has everything to do with responsibility. It has everything to do with responsibility. So please make no mistake here that when Paul wrote these verses in Ephesians chapter 5, he was not giving a gift to the male gender, right? It's not if he's saying, you know, in the grand competition between the genders, males won, and so they get the better position for as long as the world lasts. He's not saying that at all. He's not giving a gift to the male gender. In fact, what he's doing in these verses is he is laying upon husbands and fathers an enormous weight of responsibility. Being the head of your house doesn't mean that you get to live large and in charge. It means what you have done is you have taken upon yourself a tremendous responsibility, a responsibility for which I will answer to God. And in these verses, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul helps us understand what that responsibility is. You know, what he shows us in these verses is that marriage is intended to be fundamentally, it's intended to be an illustration of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church, right? It's intended to be a picture of what it looks like between Jesus and the church. And in that illustration, in that play, if you will, each member of the family plays a certain role, right? The husband plays the role of Christ, and the wife plays the role of the church. And so adopt that perspective, will you? Think about it that way. That in my family, as the husband, as the father, I am to my family what Christ is to the church. Think about that. What is Christ to his church? He's the Savior of the body. He owns the body. He has authority over the body. He mediates for the body. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, what Christ does for the church is he cares for the body. He is entrusted by God with caring for the spiritual well-being of the church. And so that's what I need to understand as the head of my house. Is that when I create a family, what I do is I assume spiritual responsibility for the well-being of that family, just as Jesus assumed responsibility for the spiritual well-being of his church. That's what it means to be the head. It means that now that I've created this family, God has entrusted their spiritual well-being to my care. That's the perspective that we need to have, that this family is entrusted to my care. You know, it's a lot like, and I hesitate to use this metaphor, but I'm going to use it anyway. We'll see what happens. There's not that many people here this morning. it's not a full Sunday crowd like it was before COVID-19. It's kind of like what would happen when I was a babysitter back in the day. And this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that your wife is like a baby that you take care of, okay? I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is when you were a babysitter back in the day, right, this family took their precious children, right? And this family said, okay, we're going to go out. We're going to go here. We're going to go here. And what we want you to do, we want you to watch our kids, right? We want to entrust them to your safekeeping. We want to entrust them to your care. You feed them, you bathe them, you take care of them. You make sure they go down on time. You make sure they clean up their toys. They're not your kids, but we're going to make sure, but we want you to take care of them while you have them. And in much of the same way, that's what it means to be the head of your house. That your family has been entrusted to your care. And that God expects you as the man in the house, as the head of the house, to care for them, to watch out for them. They've been entrusted to your care. And so for a few moments this morning, I'd like to show you what it means. What it means that my family is entrusted to my care. So first of all, I want you to see that just like Jesus, a husband and father is called to sacrifice for the good of his wife and for the good of his children, right? We know when we look at the life of Jesus that fundamentally his life's purpose was sacrifice. That night at dinner when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he instituted that memorial meal, which we are about to partake. We remember that he said this. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Right? That's the idea. That's why Christ came fundamentally, to take the body that he was given and to give it up for our good. Right? His life was all about sacrifice. We see that in Ephesians earlier, in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, where Paul tells us we are to walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Jesus' life was all about sacrifice. It was all about pouring himself out in order to fill others up. And that's Paul's point to husbands and fathers in Ephesians chapter 5. When a family is created, the man assumes the role of Jesus. And what that means, now that I am supposed to be like Jesus, that means that I pour myself out in order to fill others up. You see that connection abundantly clear in Ephesians chapter 5. Look in Ephesians 5 verse 25. We already read this. Ephesians 5 verse 25, where Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her," right? That whole idea, as the head of the house, I am to sacrifice, to give myself up for the good of my wife. We see that also in verse 28. "So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church." And so we see in those verses that as the head of my house, I'm supposed to see my wife especially as part of my body, as part of my flesh. And I'm supposed to care for her in that way and to sacrifice for her good in that way. And so Paul is helping us see that when a family is created, we each assume our roles. The husband becomes the sacrifice, and the wife becomes the one who is blessed by the sacrifice. She has been entrusted to his care. And so if we as heads of the house, if we as husbands and fathers are interested in doing an honest evaluation of whether or not we're doing what God wanted us to do, the question we must ask ourselves is this: that do I make sacrifices in order to bless my wife? Do I make sacrifices in order to bless my wife? Do I give myself up in order to be a blessing to her? You know, it occurs to me, I have not been married nearly as long as many of the people in here, but there are some things that have occurred to me within my marriage. One of the things that's occurred to me is that a lot of the friction that you experience in your marriage relationship is when your interests are not aligned. Does that make sense? When my interests are not aligned with my wife, that's when the friction comes, right? When Lee and I both wake up on the same day and we both want to go to Disney World, right? There's no friction there, right? Because we both want to do the same thing. And so we do that thing together. We're both happy. The friction comes when I wake up one morning and I want to do this thing and she wants to do that thing, and we have to decide what? Who's going to win, right? Much of the friction comes in marriage and in relationships when our interests are not aligned, right? The friction comes when it becomes my needs versus your needs, my desires versus your desires, and my security versus your security. That's where the friction comes. But I want you to see that when it comes to Christ and the church, when you think about what Christ did for you, when you think about the life that he lived for you to save you, you see that's not how he lived his life. That's not how he treats you, my needs versus your needs. Instead, when you look at the life of Christ, you see that he lived this way: your needs and then my needs, your desires and then my desires, your security and then my security. That's how Christ treats the church. That's how we ought to treat our wives. Your needs, then my needs. Your desires, then my desires. Your security, then my security. And what that is, brothers and sisters, that is the weight of leadership, of headship. That's what I do when someone else has been entrusted to my care. And that dynamic, where the leader sacrifices for the good of the followers, that dynamic is what makes the church what it is, right? This church wouldn't be what it is. The body of Christ wouldn't be what it was if our Savior was the kind of Savior who said, my needs, then your needs. It's when he says, your needs, then my needs, that we become what we are. And that dynamic, when we as heads of the house put that dynamic into play, it also makes the home a beautiful place. There's an author named Simon Sinek, and in his book called Leaders Eat Last, he has a wonderful quote about the importance of having a leader that that you trust will keep you safe and provide what you need. In his book, he says this. He says, leaders put their own interests aside to protect us or pull us into the future. Leaders would sooner sacrifice what is theirs to save what is ours. And they would never sacrifice what is ours to save what is theirs. This is what it means to be a leader. And so in our homes, brothers and sisters, Christ wants to see husbands and also fathers to a degree demonstrate this true leadership, this ability to sacrifice, to pour ourselves up, to fill others up. First for our wife, and secondly for our children, because God entrusted them to me. And so let me ask you this morning, let me do this examination in your own heart. Do you sacrifice in order to bless those who have been entrusted to your care? You know, I'm reminded of what Peter writes in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, where he tells this to husbands. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And you know, I'm not sure that anybody can fully describe exactly what all that means. I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows exactly what it means that the wife is the weaker vessel. I'm sure we all have our own opinions, but I do know that what Peter says there is that we are to live with our wives in an understanding way. And what are we to understand? What are we to understand? We are to understand that my wife is not like me. And what it seems to say is that she isn't the one made to be the one who sacrifices. She is the one who is made to be the one that is sacrificed for. And so make sure that you dwell with your wives in an understanding way, in a way that understands she is not like you and that your roles are different. And make sure that you sacrifice for her because she has been entrusted to your care. Just like Jesus, as heads of the household, we are called to sacrifice for our wives. But notice this also, just like Jesus, we are called to guide our families. And that's the other point that's clearly made in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what Paul writes. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. You know, the illustration that Paul uses there is an especially beautiful one. The illustration Paul uses in those verses is that of a bride preparing for her wedding day. And what he says is the church is preparing to meet Christ like a bride is preparing to meet her husband on the wedding day. And what he says in that passage is that what Christ has done is through the water and the word, he has provided the bride with everything she needs to be beautiful on the day that she meets her husband, right? That's the idea. Christ gave us the water of cleansing from our sins. He gave us the word to show us how to be holy and blameless. And those things help us be, help the bride be beautiful on the day when she meets Christ. Right? The water and the word make her clean. And his work makes her glorious, verse 27. His work removes spots and wrinkles. That is the insufficiencies. That is the sin and the transgression that weighs us down and makes us less than we should be. And his work helps the church become holy, holy and blameless. And so what we see, what we're told, is that Christ guides his bride to help her be as spiritually beautiful as she can be. And the connection is made in Ephesians chapter 5 that as the head of my house, that is what I am called to do for those who have been entrusted to my care. That when I, as a man, create a family, it is my job to guide my family. It is my job to work to make sure that my family is as spiritually beautiful as they can be. That's what we see in Ephesians 5, right? But notice also in Ephesians chapter 6, that doesn't just have to do with my wife, right? That has to do with my kids too. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. I am supposed to guide my family, to guide my wife, and to guide my kids so that they can be as spiritually beautiful as they can be. And so once again, if you're interested in doing an honest evaluation of how you're doing as a leader of your house, ask yourself this question. Am I fulfilling my God-given responsibility to guide my family? Ask yourself, am I, as a leader, guiding my wife? You know, spirituality in my home should not be an every man for himself proposition. Especially not in my relationship with my wife. You know, and sometimes in the hustle and the bustle of life, and that can happen in the home where everybody just becomes responsible for their own spiritual well-being, right? I'm going to take care of my own prayer life. I'm going to take care of my own Bible study. And my wife, she can make time for that when she has time for that. She can worry about herself. I'll worry about myself. Sometimes it becomes an every man for himself proposition. But that is not the way that Christ shows us we ought to be in our families. The Holy Spirit in these verses bestows upon us as leaders of the home to nourish and cherish our wives, right? That's Ephesians 5 and verse 29. To nourish and cherish. And so ask yourself, are you a source of spiritual nourishment for your wife? And how about the kids? Are you a source of spiritual nourishment for them? And obviously, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, husbands and fathers, we are supposed to be spiritually nourishing to our children. And as you've heard before, and as I've said before, right, it is not the church's responsibility to raise your kids in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, right? That's not what Bible classes are for. That's not what sermons are for. We are not the main source of nourishment for children. Like, it can't be that way. And if that's the only source of nourishment that your children are getting, then they may survive it, but they're going to be malnourished. As husbands and fathers, we are the main source of spiritual nourishment for our wives and for our children. Fathers, put food on the table, both physically and spiritually. Are you nourishing your kids, guiding them through the scriptures to help them be as spiritually beautiful as they can be? You know, it is true that every person will stand alone in judgment to answer for the deeds that they've done. Every person will. And that's something that I think a lot of young people need to make sure that they recognize, right? Our teenagers who've been baptized, who have committed their lives to Christ, our college students, right, who are just now leaving home, they're Christians, they've committed their lives to Christ, they need to understand that when they meet God on the judgment day, mom and dad aren't going to be standing beside them giving excuses for why they were where they were, right? If you're a Christian, you answer to God, you stand by yourself, and you answer for the life that you've lived. And that's true of anybody who's reached the age of accountability. But it is also true that if I am the head of a house, that if a wife and children have been entrusted to my care as a leader, it is true that one of the questions God very well might ask me on the judgment day is, how did you guide those that I entrusted to your care? How did you guide them? Did you take care of them the way that I wanted you to take care of them? Did you try to guide them the way that I asked you to? And that's something I'm going to have to answer for. Once again, it is the weight of leadership. It is my responsibility as a leader, as the head of my house. Are my wife and my children being spiritually nourished by me? And I'm compelled to make this one additional point before we leave this. You know, one of the most powerful ways that I guide my children is by showing them how I sacrifice for my wife. And I think that's something else that we miss in today's world, something else that we often get wrong. Is what you see in a lot of families, and I know that I've been guilty of this myself. What you see in a lot of families is you see a father who sacrifices for his kids and a mother who sacrifices for her kids, but they don't sacrifice for each other. Right? I'll do anything for my kids. Maybe not for my wife. Or the wife says, I'll do anything for my kids, but not quite for my husband. And we say, I will sacrifice, I'll give up anything to help my kids, but not my spouse. And what we ought to realize, that is the opposite of the biblical picture. That one of the best ways I can guide my kids, one of the best things my kids can see is a relationship between the husband and the wife where the husband sacrifices for his wife, just as Jesus sacrifices for the church. And when they see that in my relationship, in my marriage relationship, it doesn't only teach them what a good and healthy marriage relationship looks like. What they see when they see a father, a husband who sacrifices and gives himself up for his wife, what they get is a fundamental understanding, a fundamental picture of what it means to be a Christian that they will remember and they will use for the rest of their lives. And so understand, brothers and sisters, that one of the most important ways I, as a husband and a father, am going to guide my children is by showing them a picture in my marriage relationship of Christ's relationship to the church. I need to make sure that Christ sees true leadership in me. And that means sacrificing for my wife, and that means striving to be a spiritual guide to my family. After all, they have been entrusted to my care. They are my responsibility. And I am answerable for how I led them in this life. There is a weight of responsibility that is laid upon the leader of the house. And as men, I think it is important that we recognize how important it is that we answer that responsibility. But as we bring this lesson to a close, I do want to say a brief word to those who are not the head in their house. You know, this is Father's Day, and we've said a lot about what it means to be a father and what God expects for a father to do for those who have been entrusted to his care. But what does God say to those who are not the head in the house? You know, this is the day when as a nation, we take time to appreciate and honor the men who lead our homes. And that is a wonderful thing. And a lot of you guys back at home right now, if you haven't already given it, a lot of you guys have a gift. You have a present, right, that you're going to give as a token of your appreciation to the leader of your house. Maybe you got him a power tool. I got a new drill for Father's Day. I got a little bit early so I could get some things done real quick. But it was a good deal too. We found a good deal online. I got a new drill for Father's Day. That was a great Father's Day present. I got some black licorice back in my office too for Father's Day from Ellison. That's good stuff. And German Shepherd socks. Don't want to forget that. Right, we get presents to show our appreciation for our fathers. But let me tell you, those gifts are not the most important gift that you can give. There are other gifts that you need to make sure that you give the head of your house that are so much more important, that will mean so much more to him, He has taken upon himself by creating this family. He has taken upon himself an enormous responsibility. And if you want to show your appreciation for that responsibility, this is the gift that you need to give him. Wives, you need to make sure that for Father's Day, you get your husbands the gift of respect. You need to make sure that you give him respect for Father's Day. And once again, as we made clear in the beginning, that does not mean that you are voiceless, right? That does not mean you become the woman who is seen and not heard. That does not mean that you don't have an opinion. That does not mean that he gets to be tyrannical and push you down. That's not what it means to give him respect. What it means to give him respect is it means that in your home, you assume the role of the church. You assume the role of a willing follower. Someone who makes it easier to lead. That means that when you see your husband sacrificing for you, that you don't take it for granted, but you make sure you let him know how much you appreciate the sacrifices that he makes to bless you. And that means that when he tries as a husband to guide your family and to make you spiritually beautiful, you don't make that difficult for him. That if he says, you know what, let's pray as a family, let's study the Bible, let's go to this Bible study, let's have something at our house that's spiritual in nature. When he tries to guide your family spiritually, be willing to follow. Make it easy for him to do that. The best gift you can get your husband, your father for Father's Day, your husband for Father's Day is respect. And if you are a child at home, the best gift you can get your father for Father's Day is obedience. That you make sure you listen to him. That you make sure you do what he says. Even when you don't like it. Even when you think you know better. Because at the end of the day, he has been entrusted with the enormous responsibility. He has been entrusted to care for you, to raise you. He is going to answer to God for how he guided you. And whether you are 2 or 18, it is important that you obey him. And in that way, we will help him lead. We won't make it a burden that we have been entrusted to his care. And let us not forget, brothers and sisters, that all of these relationships that we've talked about are illustrations of spiritual realities. That's the main point of family. They paint pictures of what's true between me and God, between me and Jesus, right? As a church, we are the bride of Christ. And as those who have been saved, we are now children of our Father in heaven. And those are meant to remind us of in our relationships on earth, our relationship with our fathers and in our relationships with our husbands and with our wives, that's meant to remind us of what is spiritually true, of what is actually real, of what is not just going to last for this life, but is what is going to last for all of eternity. That because we've been saved and washed in the waters of baptism, we have become the bride of Christ, someone who is to be subject to him, submitted to him, somebody who is to respect him in all things. And because we have become the bride of Christ, because we've been saved from sin, we are now children of God, which means we obey him and we are loved by him. We need to make sure we remember that as Christians. And maybe you're sitting here in this audience this morning and you realize that you've never been saved from your sins. You've never done what was necessary to have the sins washed off your soul. You need to know that right now, as hard as it may be to hear, you are not the bride of Christ and you are not a child of God. The Bible tells us how to do that. That we need to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We need to repent of the sins we committed that put him on the cross in the first place. And if we're willing to confess that belief before men, we can be baptized in water to have our sins washed away. And when I have done that, I become married to Christ. I become a child of God. I become cleansed and ready to spend eternity with my spiritual husband in Christ, my spiritual father in God. If you have not done that and you need to do that, We understand that right now we're not gonna have an opportunity for you to come forward right now. But at some point today, you need to make sure that you let us know, and we'll make sure we make it possible that you can become a child of God today. Just let us know, and we'll make that happen. Thank you very much.